5 years of bliss and 10 years of hell. I said, so when you were unforgiveness and wasn't obeying God, it wasn't fun, was it? She said, absolutely not. But I said, now that you're obeying God, I said, you and your husband are loving each other. Everything's going great in your life. Your finances are being met, and you got three healthy children. She said, our children hadn't been to the doctor in 5 years. Ever since I forgive my husband, she said, before that, my two that had allergies were in the hospital every 2 weeks with some kind of a problem, some kind of a medical bill, and the other one was just having trouble with his leg, and they said he'd be an invalid by the time he was another year old. She said, today, none of my children are sick. Does it pay good dividends to obey God? So why do we have such a problem with the word? And Jesus said, if you explain this, Paul said, if you explain these things to your brothers and sisters, you'll be doing your duty as a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is fed by the message of faith and the true teachings you have followed. Where do we find these true teachings of God? In the word. I mean, it's right there, isn't it, brother? Right there in the word. Okay, verse 7 and 8. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. You know, we can do that. Spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Now, physical exercise has some value. Now, my son would be glad because he has a gym. And he is the perfect. I mean, I was looking at him and I thought yesterday me and him was doing some things. We was over working together. And I looked and I'll never forget that little boy this big that I used to hold in the palm of my hand. Weighed 6 pounds. Little teeny thing, and I look down and say, God, I don't know what you have for him, but I know you got something for him someday. I just don't know. But now when I look at him, he's not quite as tall as me, but his arms are 3 times as big as mine, at least. I mean, he is a chunk of man, but he works out all the time. Strong as a bull ox. You know, now physical fitness, you know, if you stay with it, it will keep you like that, but it has a cost. But praise God, he also is spiritually exercising himself. He's in the Word on a regular basis, and he's raising his children up just like I raised him. He reads the Word of God to his children. He talks about Jesus to his children. In fact, his oldest son, Preston, my precious little grandson, he and Caitlin was coming right out across the front of the minister center the other day, and I happened to walk out, and when I did, Preston just screaming at the top of his lungs, pushing his little bicycle. So I go running out and say, Preston, I said, son, something wrong with you? Yes, granddaddy, I was riding my bicycle and I fell off and a handlebar hit me right in the chest and I'm hurting. And I said, well, son, Jesus said he bore our pain. So I reached down and laid my hand. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, take away my grandson's pain. I said, Lord, thank you, it's done. And he stopped crying. As soon as he stopped crying, I said, now, did he quit hurting? He said, yes, granddad, he quit hurting. I said, get on your bike and go. I said, and thank and praise Jesus for healing you. Now, see, that's what's available to us if we're children of God and we believe the Word of God, isn't it? Can we pray for the sick and they get healed? Woo! I mean, whenever a young man like this comes to church, he knows you can be healed. And being healed is a whole lot better than being a stroke, right? That's right. Guarantee it. Well, all of us at one time or another have probably been down with some kind of sickness. And Jesus does not want us to be sick. He wants us to walk in obedience to his word so we can walk in divine health. I mean, I'm thinking about Dave up there, how Dave, you know, he was sick 40 something years of his life. He was born with this incurable disease. And when I met him, I told him, I said, Dave, if you'll do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee Jesus will heal you. Well, now, you know, he'd been in church all of his life. But he'd never heard anybody make a statement like that. He said, now, Pastor, talking to himself. He didn't say this to me. He's saying, Pastor, you can't guarantee God will do anything. He later told me, you know, after he got healed. But I told him, I said, I can guarantee God will do something. He'll do exactly what he promised in his word. Won't he, Scott? Yes, he will. But physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward in both this life and the next. How do you get spiritual exercise? Read and study God's Word. Read His Word and then act on it. Verse 9 and 10. This is true and everyone should accept it. We work hard and suffer much in order that people will believe the truth. For our hope is in the living God, Who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of those who believe? We work hard. Somebody says, you know, boy, I'd like to be a preacher. They don't have to do nothing. I used to think that. But I found out that's not true, or at least not for some of us. When I think about just the other day when Cheryl and I went to Norway, I go over there to Norway for 6 days to speak 2 times a day, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, and then pray for people. Well, two hours, that's only 4 hours. You know, that's not a big deal. I can easily take 4 hours of my day. I forget travel time from the hotel there and back. And then I forget, naturally, want us to pray for people. So that's 2 to 3 hours each time. So you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. You go into you have a little bite to eat. You go to the studio and you listen to them sing and praise for an hour. And then about 11, you start teaching until 1 or 1:15. And then you quit teaching. And then you pray for people till 2:30 or 3. And then you go to dinner. And then you come back and maybe get an hour to read or study or rest. And then you go back to the station and you listen to them worship and praise another hour. And then you teach 2 more hours until 11 o'clock at night. And then you pray for people till 1:30 or 2 or 3. And then you get home in the hotel and you fall into bed, collapse, and you get up the next morning at 9 o'clock and start over. And when you do this, we were only going to have to do this for 6 days. But after about the 4th day, said, you can't leave. You've got to stay another week. So we taught like that for 12 days, 22 sessions in 12 days. You can only do that with Him as your strength. You know that, young lady? Yeah. 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 or 3 the next morning, every day for 12 days. That's pretty intense, you know it? But you can only do it in Jesus. We work hard and suffer much. Just remember that when you look at me and you say, well, that preacher, he don't do nothing but sit around out there at the ministry center. Let me tell you, that's not true. Now, my honey bunny, she's 9 years younger than me, and she now knows why God gave me a young woman. Because she can't even keep up with me. I mean, she just falls out every once in a while. Just crash. I can't go on. Of course, then when we go out there and do all the teaching and everything else at GLC, as soon as we start home, we get in the airplane, we get up to 11:05, and I look over there, and she's got her pillow over there, and she's snoring away. And so we get all the way over here, and of course, when I get 60 miles out, the weather is real heavy clouds that day, so I'm going to have an IFR letdown through the stuff. And so there I'm by myself. Usually when I'm flying IFR, I have Dave with me, and he writes down, helps listen on the radio and all this kind of stuff. But I didn't have him with me. I had just had Cheryl. So we get down, and when we begin to get close to the ground, I'd woke her up about twice on the descent. And the third time, I punched her in the side. I said, honey, this is no time to sleep. I may have to do an ILS approach into Alliance, depending on that. I said, wake up, you know, get your notepad. You may have to do some riding for me, girl. At about that time, I drop out of the clouds at 3,500 feet, and I can see the ground. She said, oh, good, praise the Lord. She crashes again. Oh. She's a tired girl. Oh, goodness gracious. But somebody in this family's got to work. No, she works. Don't get me wrong. This girl's up night and day. She puts in her hours in the ministry. I will have to say that. She does work. We work hard and suffer much in order that people will believe the truth. See, what we're doing hoping that people will get a hold of the truth. That's why we're teaching what we teach. Then he says here, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of those who believe. So there's something special about us that believe. Verse 11 and 12. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. So what am I supposed to do? Jump up down in my soapbox and say, okay, I demand that y'all be able to. I'm going to give y'all a test next Sunday, and we're going to see how many of you got this one today. I insist that you learn these things and remember them. Is that what God's trying to tell us? Yes, He's trying to tell us. Who is actually insisting? The Lord. He is insisting that we learn these things and we walk in these things. Don't come in here and then listen to me teach for an hour and a half and then walk out the door and say, oh, well, good message, but I don't remember anything he said today. Where was he? What book was he in? I don't know. Somewhere in the Bible. This girl taking notes, see, She's got notes. But the Lord says, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Well, I think he's talking to me too, don't you? Sure. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Now, Timothy was a young man, and praise God, there is some good young Christian men out there, I will have to say. Be an example to all believers in what you teach, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Now, we're supposed to be children, even if we're young, like he's talking to Timothy here. He is a young man. He's supposed to teach the Word of God, and he's going to do it in such a way he's going to live so clean and pure and holy, and he's going to have love for people. He's going to be a man of great faith, and he's going to be a man of purity. A young man, a young woman, teach your children, keep themselves pure. Keep yourself holy. Today, with the world out there, it's almost impossible, even in the church, to raise a young woman or a young man through life, and they get to be 25 years old, and maybe they're 20 to 25 before they get married or whatever. It's almost impossible to raise one to that point and they still be clean and pure. No sex until the night they get married. It's almost impossible. It takes a mother and a daddy staying in God's Word continuously. Because your children, they're living in the world. They're watching that crazy television. You know, when we went to Norway the other day, that airplane we were on had multiple different shows, movies that you could watch. Used to, long time ago, when I was an airline pilot, when we had an international flight, I remember the movie that we had where we had a projection screen over every 10 rows of seats, and they had a tape that started at the front and ran down through that whole thing and all the way around that airplane, a tape. And if that thing ever broke, you had a problem. But you know, you would see it start up there on that one, and then a half a minute later, it would come on this one, and then a half a minute later, come on this one. So every one of them was about a half a minute staggered, but same tape. But it was amazing how that worked. Today, with technology, they got 10 or 15 or 20 different shows on there. You just select the ones you want, bam. You can start anywhere you want to in it. You can fast forward it through part of it or back it up or do whatever you want to do. I thought, wow, this is something.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, When Your Heart Condemns You Not, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.